Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. I have a great show for you today. I'll be encouraging you to find your own path. I'll also be interviewing business flipping expert Ace Chapman, who shares his story of how he followed his own path to be the successful person he is today. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My latest album, Restoration, was just released. Restoration is a continuation of the first album, Consolation. I like to think of these albums like books. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And like in any story, the character goes from a sense of grief and loss, and at the end of Consolation, finds hope for his future. In Restoration, he has an awakening. And in that awakening, he recognizes all the things in his life which are not healthy, and it helps him come to a place of restoration, becoming greater than he was before. You may purchase this album on iTunes or any other digital music store. The name of the album is Restoration, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you are currently hearing is entitled Introspection. There once was a young man who was a son of a traveling horse trainer who would go from stable to stable, racetrack to racetrack, farm to farm, and ranch to ranch, training horses. As a result, the boy's high school career was continually interrupted. When he was a senior, he was asked to write a paper about what he wanted to be and do when he grew up. That night, he wrote a 7-page paper describing his goal of someday owning a horse ranch. He wrote about his dream in great detail and even drew a diagram of a 200-acre ranch, showing the location of all the buildings, the stables, and the track. Then he drew a detailed floor plan for a 4,000-square-foot house that would sit on his dream ranch. He put a great deal of his heart into this project, and the next day he handed it in to his teacher. 2 days later, he received his paper back. On the first page was a large red F with a note that read, "See me after class." The boy with the dream went to see the teacher after class and asked, "Why did I receive an F?" The teacher said, "This is an unrealistic dream for a young boy like you. You have no money, you come from an unstable family, you have no resources, and owning a horse ranch requires a lot of money. You have to buy the land, you have to pay for the original breeding stock, and later you'll have to pay large stud fees. There's no way you could ever do it." Then the teacher added, "If you rewrite this paper with more realistic goals, I might consider your grade." The boy went home and thought about it long and hard. He asked his father what he should do. His father said, "Son, you have to make up your own mind on this. However, I think it is a very important decision for you." Finally, sitting with it for a week, the boy turned in the same paper, making no changes at all. He stated, "You can keep the F, and I will keep my dream." Today, Monty Roberts, the famous horse trainer, now owns a 4,000-square-foot home in the middle of a 200-acre horse ranch, just like he dreamed as a boy. He also has hanging over his fireplace his failed school assignment. Following your own path. When we grow up, we all attend school. We all learn the same types of things. And some people do really well in school, and sometimes people don't. We're all made completely different. The hobbies that we have, the way we think, the way we even look at the world is often very different from other people. Society teaches us that we all need to conform to what the societal belief is. And yes, that's important to be part of society, but it's also important for you to be the individual. Your makeup is specifically designed for you. The way you think, the way you process things, the way you interact with other people is you. We all have our own fingerprints. We all have our own different cellular structure. And we have to remember that just like biologically we're different, we're also different in our personality. And when we surround ourselves with people who don't necessarily understand that, we get made fun of. We conform to what they want us to do. Sometimes even in families want us to do a certain type of vocation, but it's really not what we want to do. Some people go off to university, other people do not. And when we follow our own path, that is when we truly find that sense of happiness. But when we get stuck in the cookie cutter concept of what success is or what other people want us to do, we're never truly going to be happy. I'd once read about a study of 5 monkeys. 5 monkeys were put in a room, and in the center of the room was a pole. And there was bananas that were hung on the end of this pole. And so when one monkey would climb up, it was doused with water. And of course, it scrambled down. Another monkey went up there, and the same thing happened. So all 5 monkeys were completely wet, and none of them got the bananas because the water discouraged them. The researchers then took out 1 monkey and put in a new monkey. That monkey tried to climb the pole as well, and as soon as he tried, the other monkeys pulled him down. And so they continued to remove the original monkeys and kept replacing it with new monkeys. And after a while, they were all brand new monkeys, but none of the monkeys would climb the pole because they were taught that they couldn't do it. But remember, they weren't even the original monkeys. It's the same type of concept when it comes to us. When people around us tell us that we can't do something just because they haven't been able to do it, or maybe they don't even know how to do it, and sometimes they're very well-meaning people, but when we're told this over and over, we don't even try. And just like those monkeys, our dream is squashed before it even starts. I also heard about this other person. He was a young little boy, and just like in the intro story that I told, when he was in kindergarten, he was asked to say what he wanted to be when he grew up, and so he was really excited. And the teacher went around and had each of the pupils come up to the front of the room and share their story. He shared his story of wanting to be on television, of wanting to make people laugh. The teacher asked him, "Do you know anybody who's on TV? You come from the inner city. How would you even be able to do this?" And he went home and also talked to his father. And his father told him to look at that paper every day. This young man did that. And now Steve Harvey is on television 5 times a week making people laugh. The point is, when we have a dream, there are going to be people who tell us we can't do it. There are going to be people who tell us that it's not possible. But that dream is specifically for you. All of the necessary tools are inside of you. You just get to figure out how it's going to play out. Think about inventors. Inventors aren't the norm. If they thought the same way, there wouldn't be witty inventions. In order to be different, you have to accept all of who you are, amazing things about you and the areas in which you struggle. But when you start to be that way, you start to have that self-reliance. And in that self-reliance, your hopes and dreams become stronger and stronger. It's important not to share your dreams with everybody. Not everybody's going to support you. When you surround yourself with those people who encourage you and believe that you can do anything possible, that is when your dreams are achieved. When we fear ridicule, we are minimizing our potential. We're minimizing our hopes and dreams because people, either strangers or people that we know, are going to make fun of us. But remember, they don't talk about people who are part of the group. They only talk about people who are out in front doing something different. Let that be you. Your future is only as bright as you want it to be. The dreams you have inside of you are specifically for you. Follow your own path. Audible.com is offering you, my listener, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm an avid reader, so this is a no-brainer for me to go ahead and download any audiobook I'd like to read, specifically if I'm walking my dog, at the gym, or just even driving. So for you to get your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. They have over 180,000 books for you to choose from, so I'm pretty confident you'll find the one you're looking for. So check it out today. I have the pleasure of introducing Ace Chapman, who is a business flipping expert, investor, and entrepreneur who has made millions buying and selling businesses for himself and helping others to do the same. He is going to share his incredible story with us today. Welcome to my show, Ace.
It is great to be here with you, James. I'm excited to dig into some of the stuff we talked about in the pre-call.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Your name may not be synonymous with the signs that people see all over the world, really, but those signs that say, "We buy ugly houses," and that was your business.
Yeah. So it was a partnership between a lot of people that were all over the country that basically came together and started to buy up billboards. I was doing it in the Southeast. There were people doing it, like you said, all over.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. And now, yeah, it's gone on. And I sold out years ago. It was really a part of what my real career has been, which is buying and selling businesses and being an investor in a lot of different businesses.
That is incredible. You know, when I read your bio, it seems like the way you grew up was totally different than the successful person you are today.
Yes. I was fortunate to have some amazing parents. You know, we weren't necessarily wealthy, but they did an amazing job with my sister and I raising us. But I certainly came up in a pretty rough environment, especially early on. We were fortunate enough to move out of the inner city, and we probably moved at exactly the right time because, you know, I'm sitting there in the house we moved into. I'm like, "Mom, our old house is on the news." And she's like, "Really?"
Oh, no.
she comes over, and a guy on the porch had been shot in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
So, that was a good move to get out of that.
Yes,
area.
It was. So where are you originally from?
I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So small town. It was a great place to grow up as a kid. I later got the good fortune of getting into a private school. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that changed a lot of things for me. My expectations for myself just went to another level.
Sure. And that would make sense. I mean, when you're in a place where your worldview changes, and that can be external, internally, all of a sudden your life will start to change because the way you view yourself, the way you view yourself in your surroundings, all of a sudden makes you have almost like a personal growth and development moment.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I tell people, you know, when I was in an inner city school, it bottom line just wasn't cool to be smart.
Mm.
You know, so
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, which is a really unfortunate thing. So you made fun of the kids that were making good grades.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was, like I said, fortunate enough to get into a good school. And I remember going to my dad and saying, Dad, I really want to go to this all boys prep school. And he's like, man, you're not getting into that school. You're terrible. You're making bad grades. And he was like, if you can make straight A's next year, uh-huh, then I'll let you apply. And it's still not very likely.
It's a long shot, yeah.
Exactly. So sure enough, you know, I started making straight A's. It's something that I had to keep a secret from my friends.
Oh, like, man.
They would make fun of me. And I remember sitting on the bench in gym. I don't even think I've ever talked about this on a podcast. But I remember sitting there and, you know, I'm like, man, trying to say goodbye to my friends because they don't even know that I've gotten into this school.
Oh, wow.
A scholarship and all this. And I tell them, like, man, I'm not going to be here next year. You know, I'm going to Macaulay, the school I was going to. And they were kind of silent for a minute and just bust out laughing, like, oh, that's the most hilarious joke ever. There's no.
Oh, no.
It's like, all right, dude, we'll see you next year.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to be adamant about this joke.
Yeah.
But we'll see you next year.
Oh my gosh. That must have been difficult for you because, I mean, here you are, really want to have a heartfelt goodbye. And obviously you're not getting that returned in kind because they're like, very funny.
Not at all. It's pretty funny to think about.
So once you graduated from that prep school, did you go off to college?
I did. I got into a school in upstate New York, Colgate University. And went there and was really just excited about college.
Yeah.
You know, I just became president of my class, just really
involved.
And it was a great experience. And everything changed because I'd always been really interested and curious about business and the stock market. And I was a part of this stock market simulator sophomore year. And I just loved the business, but it wasn't being run very well.
Mm.
So I reached out to them to try to do an internship for the summer because I thought it'd be really neat to learn about this business. And obviously they needed help. I mean, they weren't responding to customer service and just the site was crashing. I'm like, obviously these guys need some help.
Yeah.
So I reached out to them and they wrote back and basically told me, hey, we aren't really interested in this business anymore. We'd love to sell it to somebody. It's making $60,000. We're willing to sell it for $70,000. And, you know, if you want to buy it, you can. I'm thinking, I just wrote to you about interning. That escalated pretty quickly. So after kind of sleeping on it, I'm like, man, you know, I'm here at this school. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, but people are paying $30,000 a year, you know, $120,000. And the dream is to be able to get out and make, you know, 40, 50,000.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I knew plenty of people that were graduating and just couldn't find jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a pretty easy equation. Like, I need to try to buy this thing. And the only problem was I had about $3,000 that I'd earned kind of doing jobs the summer before. And that was a long ways.
Yeah, a long ways.
$70,000.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that just shows your entrepreneurial spirit in the sense of, here are a sophomore in college and you're already looking to buy your first business. I mean, when many people, which of course we all have a different path, but many people are just trying to figure out what their grade's going to be for their general ed.
Yeah. And that became the thing. So I ended up figuring out how to buy that first deal, raised some money from a buddy of mine. Actually got a little bit of credit card debt, which my parents would have killed me if they found out about. I think my biggest stress was not my grades. It was like one of the credit card companies mailing a statement to my parents' house instead of the dorm. So I was always checking. I'm like, I know y'all are sending a statement. Make sure you do not send it to that other address.
Oh, gosh.
Because I will be murdered. So made it through that And actually, the business was very profitable and made money. I ended up leaving college because it just grew beyond the point of me being able to run it. I had investors, and they basically were like, hey, we love college too, but we're not going to invest if you're going to be in school. Yeah. So it was an amazing experience. I learned a lot by doing and making mistakes, which I think is one of the best ways to learn.
Let me stop you for one second, because I definitely want to talk about the mistakes in a second. But how difficult was it for you to make that decision to leave university when you'd worked so hard to get into university, you were successful at university, and all of a sudden you have this opportunity, and to make that decision of, well, do I stay in school and finish my degree like what everybody expects me to do, or do I go off with this business that is doing well? How did you come up with the decision for that?
It was really tough, and I wanted my parents to make it for me. You know, I had this offer from the investors, and I didn't know what was coming, and you know, it was definitely one of those situations where I worked, like you said, really hard, gotten a scholarship, was in one of the top 20 liberal arts universities, and that was a dream for my family. And I remember basically, you know, I'd gotten this deal. I was going, supposed to be going back for my junior year. And I went to talk to my parents about it, wanting to put the decision off on me.
Well, so that's an adult decision anyway. And if, you know, if you're in your early 20s or late teenage years, that's a huge decision. I mean, for anybody at any age.
Yeah. At first, it was a really easy decision. It's kind of a funny story. Basically, the business was a stock market simulator. So we had virtual money. Mm-hmm. And you know, you go in and invest virtual money. That's how those work. So I would tell my dad, you know, about the money I was making. And he basically thought that I was talking about internet money. You also have to think of, this is like 98.
Okay, Okay, oh yeah.
This is a long time.
Long time ago,
so the internet was just kind of this new thing. People were still on dial-up. So it's like,
okay, I remember that.
Yeah, you're making like 5,000 this month. And 10, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember I'm talking to them about the business, and I got these investors, and I kind of done all this stuff on my own that summer. And they're like, so people want to invest in your business? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to make this decision. It's like, but it's not even making money. I'm like, Dad, I've been telling you all summer I'm making money. It's like, and he had been like, are you going to get a real job? I'm like, what are you talking about? This is real. So how much money are you, real money are you making? I'm like, well, you know, at that point we'd had an amazing month and we'd done like 20,000. And I'm like, it's real money. So I had a check, and I think it may have been for 17,000 from DoubleClick back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, this is not real. We're going to the bank right now. So we go down to the bank, and he goes to the teller. He's like, is this real? You know, DoubleClick actually was a big company even back then. And the lady's like, yeah. And I'm like, Dan, I've been depositing these checks. What are you talking about? It's like, no, this has got to be a scam. Da-da-da. It's like, will you call their bank and make sure this check is actually going to go through? And like, he's not going to end up in a bunch of debt, blah, blah. So long story short, he realizes, oh, this is real money. And he's like, well, yeah, like this is up to you. Like, I probably would not go back to college.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a shocker for me, but the beginning of my journey, because I think at that point, I just was definitely the person that wanted to make my parents happy. And they would have said, hey, that's absolutely ridiculous. You can't give up this scholarship. You got to go back to school. Then, you know, that would have ended. And I wish it could have just been a super happy story from that point, but it wasn't.
What happened?
Years later, 2001, first internet bust happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
And so advertising income dried up. The offers we had, I mean, literally, you know, I was done. Like, we had seven-figure offers, and I was thinking, this is it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to sell this thing one day and retire. Of course, those offers dried up, and we ended up selling it for just pennies on the dollar.
Oh, my gosh.
Could have sold at the peak. And most of that went back to just people we owed and the investors. Mm-hmm. So I walked away from that business with, you know, just no money, but this amazing experience of going out, buying a business, and making it work.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was that I still thought, you know what? I had an offer come to me from corporate America just because of what I'd done with that business. And I'm glad that I did try that and learn that I was not built for corporate America.
Oh, okay. Going back to when, once the business, you know, you sold it for pennies on the dollar, what was your self-esteem? I mean, obviously you had more experience than many people would have as far as buying a business, running a business, making a lot of profit. How did you internalize that end of that chapter of your life? And what was the self-esteem or the takeaway you had for yourself?
It was really low. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm glad that I had that offer come from corporate America, because I think at that point, you know, I just didn't have it in me to go out and try it again. I think, you know, it's like, oh man, you know, maybe the safe, secure thing is a job. And so I was really fortunate that I got something that turned into a pretty great opportunity to make great money, uh-huh. not feel like the next thing for me was to just try to climb the corporate ladder because of an incident that happened while I was there. But at that point, I was just pretty depressed. You know, I went from this is it, I'm going to be retired at 23 to, oh, wait, like I may be, even, you know, even when I got that corporate job, I'm looking at people that were quote unquote super successful thinking, man, this is what success is going to look like. It's me retiring, you know, in 40 years after working for a bank for most of my life. So yeah, that was just a huge downgrade in outlook, if you will, mm-hmm. for me and what my goals were.
Sure. I mean, that would be a huge reality check, you know, specifically thinking I'm going to retire at 23 and now that's been stripped away from me. And here I am now in a job that I don't like, you know, just going through the motions of it and then realizing that your life is not what you had planned at all.
Yeah, it was a rough time, but I'm also really glad that I went through it, mm-hmm. because it, you know, just I don't know if I would appreciate where I am now as much if it had happened.
One of the things I really tell my clients, in fact, I just did a podcast on this, is everything we do is linked together like a jigsaw puzzle. If we look at a jigsaw puzzle, we've dumped the pieces out and we look at them, and some of them just make sense. We know where the corners are. We know where, you know, if it's a landscape, we can pick out where the trees are. But some of those colors or even the shapes of those puzzle pieces, we're like, where does this even fit in? And so we kind of put it aside. But after the picture piece starts to come together, then it starts to make sense. And that's one of the things I think many of us struggle with, is when we isolate an incident and, oh, this is horrible, I don't understand it, it just doesn't make sense. And we focus on that. That definitely just becomes our world and we become consumed by it. But just a few minutes later, the next opportunity that comes up allows for us to see, aha, I didn't like going through what I went through, but because I went through it, now I have the experience, now I have the insight, now I have the wisdom to be able to be more successful in this next venture. And then when we look at our life as that tapestry, that puzzle piece, it literally all starts to make sense. But in that moment when we isolate it, it makes no sense. And we can either get stuck there or choose to take that step back and use it for the next venture in our life.
Yes, that is exactly it. And it, you know, it's one of those things where even the situation that happened once I worked for the company, it was one of those things where I also got to realize, no, this is the way I'm built and this mm-hmm. is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've never questioned again. I've never been tempted ever again since then to even think about, oh, well, maybe I should just go get a quote unquote safe, secure mm-hmm. job. So I end up getting kind of saved into corporate America, having a great income. I was working for a financial institution and was making great commissions mm-hmm. and money was good. And one of the things that happened while I was there was, you know, I'm making good money. I'm used to building a business. And so I would go to my boss and say, I want to hire an assistant. And, you know, kind of first answer is like, no, we don't have money in the budget for that. So I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'll just pay for the whole thing, all the taxes, every expense. I will take care of it because I'm making great money. I'm mm-hmm. hitting my max. If I want to grow, I need somebody to take care of the paperwork and that kind of thing. Go out and sell more. And he's like, nah, that's not how it works. You know, we got people with seniority over you. And if they see that you have an assistant, they don't have one. That causes issues for me. And just all this corporate politics. And I'm like, I don't
know.
Oh,
like, my gosh.
Kids, if they want to pay for one, too, they should. It's like, this just doesn't make sense. So I deal with it for a little while. I eventually get frustrated and I decide, you know what? I got a solution for this. I'm going to start my own little outsourcing thing that's going to just help me. So I went down. This is before anybody was thinking about virtual assistants. Mm-hmm. So I went down a couple blocks and rented an office and hired one girl. It's just like, all I need you to do is just sit in this office and do this paperwork. Get all my paperwork done by her. I grow the income and end up bringing on a second person.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And especially when the guy tells you, like, that's not how it works. You know, that's not how we do it. And here you are proving him wrong.
And actually, that was a guy that I had gone to school with. He got out of college, and so I was his first job. And so that was kind of neat. It was like, okay, well, maybe this whole college thing, it was okay, because I also I had regrets about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Once that business went under.
So, well, it makes you re-question everything that you've done, all the decisions you've made.
Yeah, I remember coming in one day. I mean, I'm killing it. I think everybody else in the office is like, how's this guy doing so much? His desk is always clear. He's just like, never has files. Like, all their desks has crap everywhere. And I remember walking in one day, and boss calls me into his office, and he's like, so I need to ask you something, and I need you to be honest with me. And I was like, okay. And he asked me, like, who is Marie Jackson? And that was my assistant.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, oh, the jig is up. He's like, you cannot. Oh, it totally makes sense. Like, it's like, you can't have somebody working for a financial institution, like, totally off-site, not off record. He was like, we can do an investigation, or you can just go ahead and resign.
Yeah.
I think I'll resign. That's when I went out and bought a mortgage business and led to the We Buy Green House business and all the deals that I've invested in and bought and sold since.
Wow, that is an absolutely incredible story. And once again, sometimes we're pushed into our purpose. You know, you were doing great at that job, but then being pushed out of there, that caused you once again to use your past experience and to become the very successful person that you are today.
Yeah. And I look back on that. And even with that, I was like, oh, you know, I just felt terrible. Nobody wants to get fired and have to go through all that. But I also just didn't want to be kind of kept from reaching my potential. So
exactly.
It was what needed to happen. It was great.
Well, what do you think is one of the main reasons why people who maybe have similar dreams as yours or just are kind of outliers, what do you think the common mistake is, if you will, of why they don't launch out on their own, why they don't pursue their own dreams?
I think the toughest thing is, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that want to go out and buy businesses or become investors. The toughest thing is that the outside world is pushing a certain way of success. Mm-hmm. And you have these huge extremes. It's either, oh, it has to be this long, kind of dragging, boring process that's supposed to be safe and secure, which really isn't, of somebody paying you and you're going to save up and money over the Wall Street, all that stuff. And it's years and years of your life. And then on the other extreme is, oh, you can become an entrepreneur and you're going to be Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. If not them, then maybe you're actually pretty smart and you're going to be Steve Jobs and you're going to be super rich. It's going to be really easy. You're not going to have any struggle. And it becomes a little bit of that get rich quick.
Mm.
I think the thing that isn't promoted as much is just going out, testing things, trying things, doing what makes the most sense. And it's not going to be that exciting. You know, I think people become entrepreneurs like, oh, this is going to be so much fun and it's exciting. It's like, there's about 10-20% that's exciting.
Yeah.
The great majority of it still is work and it's a process and you're not doing what you're passionate about every single day. But over the long haul, you do get to your goals a lot quicker without having to sacrifice, 75% of your life to do it.
I think, like you said there earlier, I mean, there's usually a cookie cutter way of working for other people. That system is already in place. And so it's just plug and play. You just go to work and you make your money. Well, when someone's more of an entrepreneur, they have to figure out how it works. And of course, you always want to talk to the people who have done it, but you have to figure out for yourself what works and what doesn't work with your own personality, with your own style, with all those things that make up you, which is the representation of your business as well.
Exactly. I mean, no matter what, if you look at the best basketball players and nobody has the exact same style as Michael Jordan. Nobody has the exact same style as Kobe Bryant. I mean, nobody would have ever thought. I mean, if you would have said, like, oh, there's this kind of 6 foot light-skinned dude and yeah. he's not going to be able to really drive in or do anything. Like, pretty much he's just going to be hitting 40, 50-foot jumpers on the regular.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, that's going to be what he does, you know? So you have to figure out your own style no matter what you do, even when you're following the giants.
Exactly. You know, I read about on your website, you're talking about people aren't always specific with what they want. Sometimes people are specific when it comes to money, but they're not specific overall with what they're looking for in life and in their business and in their lifestyle and all that as well. Can you talk more about that a little bit?
Yeah, when it comes to goals, I had a mentor that I was really fortunate to meet. He was somebody, I had several people in my town. It's like, you know, this is a guy that you should meet because there's not a lot of people that flip businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's huge. So yeah.
I was thinking, okay, well, maybe he flips businesses, but they could never explain to me what he does. But I remember meeting him and I'm like, so what do you do? People keep saying we should meet. He's like, I've done a lot of things. Right now, I'm basically flipping hospitals. And I'm like, what?
I know. Well, that's crazy.
It's like mind blowing.
Exactly. I never heard of that.
Yeah, exactly. Me either. Like for me, hospitals were kind of like, you know, like government, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get it.
So that was just meeting him was amazing. But he ended up spending time with me and just learned a tremendous amount. And wow. I remember one of the times that I sold a business and I came to him, I had this idea for a startup. He was just focused a lot of time on what I wanted. And also, it wasn't a mentor relationship where we just sat down and talked motivation and mm-hmm. that thing. You know, I came to him the first time and he was like, okay, so where are your financials? And I was like, I don't have them. He's like, you don't have profit and loss. You don't have your personal mm-hmm. finance statement. Da, da, da. He's like, so what did you want to talk about? It's like, well, you know, I'm trying to grow a business. I'm trying to figure out things. It's like, yeah, but we don't have anything to base anything on. So who cares? Like,
just, oh, wow. He was ready.
Exactly.
And that's what sets him apart from people who follow a different path.
Exactly. So he was like, so basically dismissed me. And I couldn't meet with him for like 3 more months.
He's oh, my
like,
gosh.
You know, I'm only going to meet with you once a quarter. So it's like at the next quarterly meeting, bring your stuff.
Yeah.
Which oh, I man. Did. But yeah. I remember I'd sold a business and before I sold this, we talked a lot about my goals and very specific and, you know, week goals, month goals and all that. You know, I had this great idea for a startup and I wanted to go and start this business. I'm talking to him about it. I'm telling him my idea. I'm so excited about it. And he's not really giving me any feedback. His facial expression is like he's totally tuned out. I'm like, well, maybe he's not hearing me. I'm like, this is why this is an amazing idea. And what do you think? And at the end, he asked me about my laptop. I'm like,
what?
Why are you asking me about my laptop? It's like, where'd you get your laptop? And, you know, I told him Dell. And he's like, why didn't you build it from scratch? And I was like, well, I don't know how to do that. It's like all the information is online. You can easily go and figure it out. It's like, yeah, but I don't have the parts for that or anything. Mm-hmm. Order that online and go figure it out. I was like, that's not what I want to do. Like mm-hmm. my goal, I just want to be able to use my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, exactly. And just for the same reason that most people don't build a house, like they just want a house to live in so they can go find one and that kind of thing. And his point was that your goal is income. So if your goal, for some people, their goal is a specific vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, let's go back and look at what your goals were. And your goal was, you know, I want this specific net worth. I want this in savings and that kind of thing. Now you're telling me that your goal is some vision that you have that you're excited about this business. So either your goals have completely changed or you need to make sure that you're taking a straight line to your goal. And until you get very specific about your goal, you can't make that straight line. And if you don't focus on making the straight line, you're going to go into all these detours and all of that. And so just like it, if you want to be able to drive somewhere, you want a car, it doesn't make sense to go to mechanic school and try to figure out how to build a car and have this long process. Just go get a loan and buy a car. When it comes to business, there are a lot of people that aren't specific enough with their goals. So they end up trying to become a Facebook expert. And then a Twitter expert. And then somebody says, well, no, Periscope is the new thing. And no, you need to learn Snapchat. And the real point and kind of the reason that we focus on helping people and go out and just take over other businesses that are already making the income, is that that's their real goal, is I want to replace my income. I want to feel more financially secure and have another source of income. And so getting clear about the goal, number one, is key. Mm-hmm. So that you don't get distracted, because there are a lot of people that make a ton of money off of distracting you and telling you that you need to make this detour through their process before you get to your goal.
Ah, that's very wise. It's very true. I mean, I do what I do as well. I can see that in my own life and a personal note as well. I mean, so yeah, what you're saying is speaking to me as well.
Yeah, yeah. So the point, and man, the most valuable thing that I learned from him was always get very clear on your goal, and then get very clear on the straight line to your goal and shut everything else out. Mm. That's the main reason most people never get where they're trying to go.
Wow. That's incredibly insightful. And obviously with his wisdom, and then how you, with your own personality, were able to take that and navigate that and actualize that. And that's why you're the incredibly successful person you are today.
It made a huge difference. And I still get distracted, you know, with everything we have now. And all, I mean, there's some amazing marketers out there.
Oh, I know. but I think that's so powerful that, you know, you can go back to that key point and are able to really focus on that. That's when your success continues to grow. Well, Ace, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you and getting to hear your story. It's a phenomenal story, and I can't wait for my listeners to hear it as well. If my listeners do want to check you out online and find out more about you, where will they find your information online?
So we've got a site. It's acechapman.com. You can go there, poke around. We've got articles and that kind of thing about some of the work we do. Mm-hmm. We have a book that's on Amazon. It's called The Ace Formula. You can check that out. And you can also just shoot me an email. You know, I'm accessible. You can email me at ace@acechapman.com.
Wonderful. Well, once again, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure getting to know you.
Great. Thanks, James.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for joining with me today. Please subscribe to this podcast through whichever podcast portal you joined with me. If you're using iTunes and you like what you hear, please rate this podcast as well as leave your comments on the iTunes podcast page. Also, please visit my website where you may see all my YouTube episodes and published articles I've written for you. You may also enroll in the Lifeology Academy I created, where you can take self-directed courses which are designed for successful people just like you. You may find all this information at jamesmillerlifeology.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode today. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.